Good morning, or good afternoon, or even good evening, or good middle of the night. I'm glad that you are listening to this message. I want to pass on a little information. We're planning to have next Sunday, that's May 24th, that worship service, morning service, here in the sanctuary. Now, there won't be any Sunday school, won't be any nursery or children's church. We plan to start those back in a couple of weeks, that is, if all goes well. Now, let me say this. If you are sick, stay home. If you're in a high-risk category or you're not comfortable getting out, please don't. But we're going to give it a shot. We're going to meet here on the 24th. Now, let's begin with prayer. Father, I pray that you would take your word and this message and that you would use it to touch someone's heart and to draw them closer to you. Father, would you change us and make us like your Son, Jesus Christ? And it's in his name we pray. Amen. We are in Exodus chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19. So go ahead and take your Bible, turn to it, or take your electronic device, turn it on, and find Exodus chapter 19. I'll give you a hint. It is in the, that's right, in the Old Testament. Now, this is part two of a two-part message. And since it's been 2 weeks since part one, and since you may not remember part one of this message, I do want to do a quick review of the first part. The message title is Encountering the Almighty. Now, first off, there's a special place. We read about that in verses 1-3. I believe there was a special place for Israel. It was the mountain of Sinai. And I also believe there's a special place for us, and it's the place of worship. In fact, I believe that the best place to be is right where God has put you. If God has brought you to this place, God will teach you in this place. Now, not only is there a special place, but there's a special people. Verses 4-8. There are 6 reasons why God's people are a special people. First off, in verse 4, God's people are a freed people. Warren Wiersbe writes that the baby eagle illustrates 3 aspects of freedom. First, God gives us freedom from our old comfortable lives of sin. Second, God gives us freedom in living. Like the eagles, we can soar spiritually as we mature in Christ. And thirdly, God gives us freedom to fulfill our purpose in life. Now, there's a lot more that was said about this in the last message on part one of this. And if you need to, go ahead and look it back up and listen to it again. But I'm going to go on right now. Have you found your God-given purpose in life? It's not just to take up a little space in the world. God has a far greater purpose for you than that. If you seek God's will with all your heart, I believe He'll reveal your purpose to you. Now, secondly, in verse 5, God's people are a special treasure. Thirdly, in the first part of verse 6, God's people are a kingdom of priests. I believe God is saying, I want you to represent me to all mankind. Now, the question is, will we be like Israel and be influenced by the world, or will we influence the world? Fourth is found in the last part of verse 6, God's people are a holy nation. Fifth, in verses 7-8, God's people are an obedient people. Now, that brings us to where we are today. Next, there's a special preparation, We see that in verses 9 through 15. So take your Bible and follow along in Exodus chapter 19, starting in verse 9. I am reading out of the New King James Version. You follow along there in your copy of God's Word. And the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I come to you in the thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak to you, and believe you forever." So Moses told the words of the people to the Lord. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes, and let them be ready for the third day. For on the third day, the Lord will come down upon Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. You shall set bounds for the people all around, saying, 'Take heed to yourselves that you do not go up to the mountain or touch its base. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. Not a hand shall touch him, but he shall surely be stoned or shot with an arrow. Whether man or beast, he shall not live. When the trumpet sounds long, they shall come near the mountain.'" So Moses went down from the mountain to the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said to the people, "Be ready for the third day. Do not come near your wives." Now first there in verse 9, we have to be eager to hear God's voice. Verse 8 ends by saying, "Now Moses brought back the words of the people to the Lord." Moses didn't just go up on the mountain and talked with God once. He went up and down 7 times. You talk about a workout. Remember, he was over 80 years old and went up and down the mountain 7 times. God told Moses in verse 9, "Behold, I come to you in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with you and believe you forever." I believe he's saying, "I want the people to hear my voice. I want them to be sensitive when I speak. And Moses, this will cause them to believe in you, and you can lead them." When God's people hear God's voice, they become obedient to him, and in turn, they follow godly leadership. But when God's people refuse to hear God's voice, all kinds of trouble breaks out. When you come to worship, are you eager to hear God's voice? Now, I didn't ask if you're eager to hear the music or the teaching or even enjoy the fellowship. I asked if you're eager to hear God's word for you. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Now, some folks don't hear God's voice because they're too loud. Often God speaks to us softly in our hearts. In 1 Kings 19:12, it tells us that God spoke to Elijah in a still, small voice. So some folks don't hear God's voice because they're too loud. And also, some folks don't hear God's voice because they're too busy talking. They're too busy telling God what they want instead of listening for what God wants. And it's really easy for us to find ourselves in that situation. Now next, in verses 10 through 15, we have to prepare our hearts. In verse 10, God said, "Go to the people and consecrate them." Now we need to understand what consecrate means. It comes from a Hebrew word that means to dedicate, hallow, prepare, or purify. I think what it boils down to is God was saying, "Get my people ready." Now, God also told them to wash their clothes. The Hebrews considered soap and extra clothes to be luxuries. Bathing and changing clothes often marked a new beginning in Scripture. The clean clothes symbolized a clean heart. Now, think about this. What do you do to prepare to encounter Almighty God in worship? Have you prayed about the worship service? Have you confessed your sin? Have you emptied yourself of bitterness and anger, jealousy, lust, and pride? You have to get rid of all of this to prepare to encounter God. Listen, just showing up is not being prepared. Now, thirdly, in verse 12 through 13, we have to revere, we have to respect God's presence. Think of it this way. Electricity is a good thing. We're warm and cool because of electricity. We can cook because of electricity. We can freeze food because of electricity. Lights come on because of electricity. I think we'd all agree that electricity is a good thing. But as good as it is, I wouldn't advise any of you to take a paperclip and stick it in an outlet. You don't want to do that because the same electricity that can help you can also hurt you badly. The same electricity that can turn your lights on can permanently turn your body off. In other words, electricity, while being helpful, must be handled properly, or else the help it's designed to give us winds up hurting us. Now, the hurt won't be intentional. It's not like the electricity sets out to zap you. It'll happen because you're not handling it right. I'm convinced that what God wants to show you, that God wants to show you your destiny. He wants to guide you and govern your life, but he's got to be handled right. He's got to be handled with holy fear and reverence. That's why he says in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The word translated fear in that verse is usually viewed as a positive characteristic. Scripture tells us that this fear acknowledges God's good intentions. This fear is produced by God's word and makes a person receptive to wisdom and knowledge. This fear restrains people from sin. It gives confidence, it helps rulers, and it causes judges to act justly. This fear results in good sleep, and not during the 11 o'clock service. This fear results to, it leads to humility and riches and honor, and it leads to life. Listen, the fear of the Lord is a good thing. It's a good thing. God told Moses in verse 12 to set bounds for the people and warned them not to go up to the mountain or touch its base. And God says, whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. And listen, he wasn't kidding. It kind of makes me wonder if there was some guy in the crowd, one of these folks that just have to prove everything out, that was saying to himself, self, God's not serious about this. So they went up and they touched it. They touched the mountain, touched its base. And I believe if that was the case, that person died right there because God wasn't kidding. In verse 21, God called Moses back up the mountain to give another warning to the people. They weren't to try to gaze at the Lord through the cloud, or many of them would perish. Above everything else, there was to be a great reverence for the presence of God. Now, what's really awesome is when we realize that God's presence is with us today. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18, verse 20, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them." Now, I know that when we gather together, I'm here in his name. And I'm sure that I'm not the only one. Surely there's at least two or three. So the promise is that God is with us. That makes me concerned about the times we enter the worship of God with casual indifference. We often take very lightly what Almighty God takes very seriously. And folks, that's a problem. Now, lastly, there's a special presence. Verses 16 through 25. You still got your Bible open? Still got it turned on? Let's look at it, starting in verse 16. Then it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunderings and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain. And the sound of the trumpet was very loud, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled. And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was completely in smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. Its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. And when the blast of the trumpet sounded long and became louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him by voice. Then the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. And the Lord said to Moses, "Go down and warn the people, lest they break through to gaze at the Lord, and many of them perish. Also let the priests who come near the Lord consecrate themselves, lest the Lord break out against them." But Moses said to the Lord, "The people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for you warned us, saying, 'Set bounds around the mountain and consecrate it.'" And the Lord said to him, "Away, get down and then come up, you and Aaron with you. But do not let the priests and the people break through to come up to the Lord, lest he break out against them." So Moses went down to the people and spoke to them. Now I believe that Israel experienced the power of God in his presence. On the morning of the third day, there were thunderings and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain. There was also the sound of a loud trumpet, and everyone trembled. The people came to the foot of the mountain. Sinai was completely in smoke. God came down in fire. It was like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. And listen, if you and I were there, we'd have quaked greatly too. We'd be shaking in our boots. Verse 19 says, Moses spoke and God answered him by voice. Now that's an amazing thing. God then gave them the law in chapter 20. In fact, turn over to chapter 20 and let's look at verses 18 through 20. Exodus 20, verses 18 through 20. Now all the people witnessed the thunderings, the lightning flashes, the sound of the trumpet, and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood afar off. Then they said to Moses, "You speak with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die." And Moses said to the people, "Do not fear, for God has come to test you, and that his fear may be before you, so that you may not sin." Now they'd seen God do a whole bunch of things, but they'd never experienced his presence like this. Now right now, we experience his power and presence in worship. Today, God's presence is not on a mountain somewhere. Today, his presence is within us. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 says, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit?" Listen, I think there are two times that God is especially with us. The first are those times we go through great difficulty, when the storm is just raging all around us. Psalm chapter 23, verse 4 tells us, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." When we're in the middle of life storms, I believe that God is especially with us. And the second is this, he is especially with us in worship. No matter where it happens, inside the church, outside the church, in our homes, in our cars, in the front yard, walking down the street, wherever it happens, God is especially with us in worship. Here in the presence of God, the mountain trembled, and so did the people. Now, worship is not just about singing or praying, as much as I like those things. Worship is coming into God's presence. Now, notice what they didn't do. They didn't say, why do we sing those songs at the mountain? Where was Miriam and her tambourine song we sang at the Red Sea service? They didn't say, why is Moses leading the worship? We like the way Aaron leads it better. They didn't say, well, smoke and mystery are just too formal. We like our worship casual and laid back. No, they didn't say any of those things. Because when we truly encounter God, none of those things are going to matter. None of them. So let me ask you, have you had an encounter with the Almighty God today? Have you? And if not, why not? Why not? Let's pray once again. Father, help us to realize that, Lord, we're always in your presence, but we're especially in your presence during times of worship. And Lord, I pray that that would be a regular occurrence with us, that we are regularly, daily, in your presence in worship. Father, forgive us in thinking that it's some other way. Lord, forgive us for rejecting your presence in our lives. And Lord, help us to live for you. Help us to trust you, to be led by you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.